Thank you, Trevor and Sarah, and your songs just match the message so well tonight. And thank you, Scott, for playing the piano. Hope you enjoyed Richard Lee this morning. I've never asked him to come and preach where I pastored. In fact, I'd never carried on a conversation with him. I just listened to him teach in seminary. I don't know if you realize it or not. That man has 4 doctor's degrees. He's got one from Liberty University, one from Mercer. He has a law degree, and he also has a degree from Luther Rice Seminary, and then one from Oxford University. He got his doctor's degree, his PhD at Oxford at age 67. So if you never did finish high school, I encourage you to go back whatever age. So tonight you get Elmer Fudd all over again. I'm going to ask you tonight to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. We're looking at a series on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, just a short series, 5 or 6 messages on the names of our God. So go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Have you ever wondered why your parents gave you the name that you possess? I asked my parents why they named me Philip, and that's just with 1 L. And they knew I'd probably never get out of the first grade if I had to use 2 L's back to back. And then they named me Allen, my middle name, and it's not A-L-L-A-N, it's just 1 L, so I could get out of the second grade, I guess. But I asked them, why did you name me what you did? And they said that I'm named after a preacher with my first name and after a doctor with my second name. Have you ever looked up the meaning of your name? Phil means lover of horses. Now, I don't mind horses as long as they belong to you and I'm not sitting on their back. And the only kind of horses I ever liked were attached to a carousel that went around in a circle. And my favorite horse was named Midnight because she looked like she was asleep all the time going on that carousel. I want you to know that up through the 14th century, people only had one name. By the time we get to the 16th century, people are given a name, one name. And then they're given their dad's name, what you and I would call a last name. Or they would have a name that represented the estate or their hometown or their home place. Then you get down through the 1600s. And the Puritans began to give their children names which reflected their purity, their morals, and their doctrine. In the 16th and 17th century, people began giving their children not only a first or a Christian name and surname, but they began to give them a middle name as well. In America, male children were often given the maiden name of their mother as a middle name, thus honoring and preserving the mother's family name. If there's a name that deserves careful study and observation, it's the name and the names of our Lord. Hope you realize that in the Bible, there are over 3,000 names given to our God. 3,000 different names. When we think about God, no one name may fully describe Him. He reveals who He is through the names we find in the Bible. We've already studied Elohim. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. God introduces us to Himself. It's the Hebrew word Elohim, which is a plural noun for our God, representing God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who were the agents, 3 in 1, of creation. Then we looked at Elyon, which means most high. And then we looked at El Shaddai, which means almighty and powerful, the God who can meet all of our needs. And tonight we're going to look at a very simple name here, Adonai. You might better translate Adonai as master. I want you to know that Adonai is used 215 times in the Bible to refer to men, much as the English word refers to a person of nobility, maybe a lord or a king. But I want you to know this. Every time this word Adonai is used to refer to a man, it is in the singular form. It would just be Adon, A-D-O-N. Adonai is used to refer to God nearly 300 times in the Bible. And it's used usually in the plural form, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Together, God is Lord and He is Master of all. It's one thing to know God as Elohim, our Creator. It's another to know Him as Adonai, who is your Master. Now, to make that leap from Elohim, Creator, to Adonai requires that you make a surrender. I like Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Now, how do we know if we have submitted to God as Adonai, our Master? Number one, regard Him as proprietor. Look at Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Here we find that word Adonai used in Genesis. Abram already responded to God. He had left his home in Ur of the Chaldees, and God didn't tell him exactly where he was going. You go back to verse 1, we see God blesses Abram. Go to verses 2 and 3, and then Abram said, You know, you haven't given me any offspring, God. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Abram does not understand how these blessings that God promised are going to be possible. Abram has come to a point of surrender, and he recognizes that he is not sufficient, so he acknowledges that God is sufficient, and he calls to God and calls him Adonai, Master, Lord. Abram's about to go a little deeper on his journey with God, but he still has doubts. So what does he do? Look at verse 4 and 5. He begins petitioning God. And I want you to know, God says, here's what I want you to do, Abram. Why don't you come with me outside tonight? And I want you to look up at the sky. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to count all the stars in the sky. I don't know about you, but my long distance vision is very good. I just can't read anything right here without my glasses. But when I go outside, I can never, ever put together the constellations. Delana look up and she says, there's the Big Dipper right there. Don't you see it right over there? And I look and I just can't make a dipper out of anything. And then she says, no, over there's the Little Dipper. And I look over there and I just can't put anything that like that together. Well, here's what God says. He says, Abram, step out of the house tonight with me, and I want you to look at the sky, and I want you to count all the stars. How many of you have ever tried to count the stars? Did you get them all? Abram said, I can't count all those stars. And so, verse 6, Abram had to realize the master of the stars could bring children, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abram believed God because he surrendered to Him as Adonai. Now listen to me carefully. Surrendering to God as Adonai, we accept Him as Master, but we realize that He owns it all. I had a friend several years ago that bought a 2,500-acre farm with a big farmhouse. It had a 25-acre pond stocked and a 45-acre pond. He had pen-raised birds. You know what I'm talking about? He raised his own quail. They had a fly pen. Then he had a big John Deere tractor, and they made a custom-made hunting trailer. So here's what they did. On the day of the hunt, his caretaker would go out and capture some of those birds out of the fly pen, and then he'd go plant them in various coveys over the 2,500 acres. You'd come over there about 1 o'clock, and they'd hand out the shotguns, or you brought your own. You'd get on the quail wagon behind the John Deere. Any of you ever ridden on a quail wagon? They had the dog boxes underneath and all the coolers, and then they would take you on a hunt, pulling it with a John Deere. And they'd stop you about 75 yards from where they planted a covey of quail. Then they'd let the dogs out. And then the dogs would begin to hunt. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The biggest part of the hunt was not shooting the dogs. Because the dogs had been out on these hunts so many times, and they knew where the birds were going to be planted. And sometimes you had to kind of do like this to get the birds up high enough to shoot them so you didn't kill his dog. If you killed a hunting dog, you never got invited back to the quail hunt. They also had a guest quarters that was built nicer than our home. And our friend gave us the keys to his place. He said, you come out here and hunt and fish anytime you care. And if you and Delaney just want to get away, it's 10 miles from the house, you come to my 2,500-acre plantation. You know where the key is to the guest house. You stay there. Stay as long as you want. Bring all the friends that you want to my plantation. And I want to tell you something. My dad and I had some special, precious times fishing at Come Away Plantation. Delaney and I saw a lot of sunsets out there. But I want to tell you this. I was always reminded in the back of my mind, this place does not belong to me. And I always tried to leave it in better shape than I found it. It's easy for us to live our life mistaken, with the mistaken idea that we are the owners. Understand that Adonai is the owner of everything in life. When we recognize his ownership, then like Abram, we don't have to have the answers to all of our questions. We simply rest in Adonai, knowing that he is able to meet our needs. We don't have to worry, because he is our Adonai, our master, and he cares for his own. And I want you to know that he owns everything that we think we possess. You know, some people, believers, handle their walk with God as if he is a big grandfather in the sky. I've watched parents through the years how they handle their children. And then sometimes you tell me that if they spend one or two nights with their grandmother or their grandfather, they're ruined. They're not ruined. They're absolutely ruined. Well, I want you to know, a lot of people look at God like that. They think he's just our big grandfather in the sky. He takes things for granted. And we just whine. And God says, anything you do is all right with me. People treat God so common in our society. We don't treat him like Adonai. Let me ask you a question. If your smartphone only worked every other day, is it reliable? Let me ask you another question. If your car cranks every fifth try, is that the best? If you miss work 3 days a week on a 5-day work week, is that your best? If your refrigerator works every other day, is that your best? We expect the best from the things in our lives. Those things we claim to own, shouldn't God expect the best from us? Second thing I want you to write down, if you worship and walk with God as Adonai, is this. You serve him as master. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and 8, we find these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The name Adonai, Master. If God is your Adonai, then if He's your Master, you are His servant. When you surrender to God as Adonai, then you're saying that you will obey God and you will be His servant. Back in biblical times, there was a difference between a servant and a bondservant. A servant who served for some master was always seen as a stranger and one who possesses nothing. But I want you to know, oftentimes they were servants who had finished up their time underneath a certain master. And he would go to the master and say, "I want to stay on and serve you the rest of my life." That was a bondservant. And here's what they did. Every family back in biblical times had their own symbol or emblem for their family. So the bondservant would be taken out and realize this was voluntary. He decided he wanted to serve this master the rest of his life. And they would take his earlobe and press in a hot iron there. And they would put the symbol of that family in his earlobe. And I want you to know, when that bondservant might go to town on an errand for his master, somebody would walk by him and say, "Oh, I see you belong to the Smith family. They must be wonderful, wonderful masters." Why is that? Because he voluntarily decided he would live his life under the rulership and ownership of that master the rest of his life. Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul was saying, "I am the bondservant, the bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Ladies and gentlemen, if you say you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Him as Savior and Lord, you were purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're bondservants of Adonai, our Master. The choice you make, will you surrender to Adonai and serve Him as your Master? Will you willingly become His bondslave? You know, we encounter Moses, and we see him at the burning bush with God. He tried to make excuses for why he couldn't serve God as his master. Listen to Exodus 4:10. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.'" Now notice this. Moses, in that verse, calls God Adonai. "You're my master. I'm your servant." But then he tries to offer God an excuse why he can't serve God and lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Exodus 4:11. "So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?'" God patiently reminds Moses, "I am Elohim, I am your creator." And he says, "I can equip you to serve according to my call." Exodus 4:13. But he said, "Oh Moses, please send my hand by the hand of whomever else you may send." Moses calls God Adonai and says, "I'd rather you send somebody else." In Exodus 4:14, "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." I wonder what the Lord thinks of us. He sees us through the eyes of Christ. We, as Christians, especially conservatives — by the way, I believe you're liberal and you're lost and you're conservative. If you're conservative, you've got to be Christian. Are you with me so far? Do you know where I stand on that? Well, listen. We say He's our Savior. "Oh Lord, you're my Savior. You're my Lord." But I'm just very reluctant to serve you because I'm not qualified. Somebody said the only true choice we make that affects every other decision we make in life is who will our master be? Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah sees Adonai in all his glory. In fact, Isaiah becomes aware of how unclean and unworthy he is. He says, I must be cleansed by the fire from the altar. Then according to verse 8, Adonai speaks. What does he say? Isaiah 6, 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. The master is asking for somebody to serve him. Adonai asked, who will go for us? Plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Isaiah, in contrast to Moses, says, here I am, send me. Isaiah got it. He had been purchased with a price, cleansed at the altar. Now he knows God is Adonai. He is God's bondslave. If God is not your Adonai, then your master is Satan. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. Third thing I want you to write down quickly is honor him as Jesus. I love Psalm 110 verse 1 says, the Lord says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Adonai not only implies that God is the owner of everything, worthy of respect. He is the master of everyone and worthy to be served, but it carries over to the New Testament. Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord says, my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Then in Matthew 22, 41 through 46, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now if David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Verse 41 and 42, who is Messiah? The Pharisees said, he is a man like us, son of David. Verse 43 through 45, Jesus challenged their answer by quoting Psalm 110, verse 1. Every instance of Lord, kurios in the Greek, the most common word used to translate Adonai in the Greek language of the New Testament, it means supreme in authority, controller, master, Lord. Jesus was saying Christ, the Messiah, is Adonai. He's master. In verse 46, they had no answer and stopped asking him questions. When the disciples got it about Jesus and who he was, they came to see him as Adonai, our master. Acts 2, 34 and 35. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Peter in his great sermon on the day of Pentecost quotes Psalm 110, verse 1. Lord, kurios. Peter goes on, Acts 2:36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Peter said Jesus is kurios, Lord. He's Adonai. He's master. What happened to those listening in Acts 2:37? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then they suddenly became aware of Jesus being Adonai. And they were overwhelmed with conviction. You know, many people are willing to say, like the Pharisees, Jesus is a good man. Or like those who follow Islam, they may even admit that Jesus is a prophet, but they don't want to honor him as Adonai. If he is Adonai, he must be honored as Adonai. His name is synonymous with Adonai. You know, when I went to school, like many of you, whether it was in, we call it grammar school, elementary school, we went to junior high. I think junior is not politically correct anymore. Then we went to high school. My daddy said that when Wendy went to school, school stopped in 11 years. Who got the idea to go all the way to the 12th grade? They ought to be incarcerated. I don't know who did that. What it was, my daddy's generation, they just didn't want to keep kids that many years, so they just threw them off to school for another year to the 12th grade. You know how we started our classes every morning? Either the teacher or somebody was called on to read the Bible. And you know what? My teacher would start every day with prayer. That damaged me, didn't it, you? It did. I've never been the same since all that. I know on the days of the test, I wish she would read the whole Old Testament so we'd give out of time for that period, and then we didn't have to take tests. Any of you ever do that? And, you know, you just wanted to bring up a lot of prayer requests so she'd pray so long. We didn't have to take that pop quiz that they were giving us. It'd probably be child abuse if you gave a child a pop quiz now, if you know what that is. But you know what? We've taken prayer and we've taken the Bible out of our public schools. You know why? The liberals that are running our country don't want to honor God. And they don't want to teach your child to honor God. They don't want your children and your children's children to know Adonai and honor Him. I was reading the other day about a man named Wesley. It was January 3rd, 2007. He was in New York, waiting on the subway. He was standing with his two daughters. 20-year-old man, Cameron, down the tracks, all of a sudden started making some strange moves, and then he fell onto the tracks. Wesley could see the light of the number one train just a few hundred yards away. So he went down to try to get this stranger, Cameron, off the tracks. Cameron was having a seizure. He couldn't manage it. Wesley didn't know exactly what to do, but he saw between the tracks there was about a foot drop between the two before another foundation. So he threw Cameron down. He couldn't get him off the tracks, and he fell on top of him. And the man that was conducting the subway, the train, hit the brakes, but it was too late. Five cars ran over the top of these men before it could come to a stop. Guess what? Wesley was on top of Cameron, down in that little pit, and the only thing he had was grease on top of his cap. And when the train stopped, everybody had seen what had happened, and people were screaming, and Wesley began to holler, "We are all right. Tell my daughters I'm okay." Wesley and Cameron were taken to the hospital. Both of them were treated and released. Somebody said, "Wesley, you sure are a hero." He said, "No, I'm not a hero. I just sought somebody who needed help, and I did what I felt was right." Jesus sacrificed for us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure that we honor Him, not only with our thoughts and what we say, but with our lives. Last thing I want to share you is this. If you're going to honor Him and see Him as Adonai, you got to follow Jesus as Lord. John 13, just write it down, verse 13 through 17. If Jesus is our Adonai, then what expectation does He have of us? In John 13:13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' Jesus, I am your Adonai," but He goes on. Verse 14 and 15 of John 13. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also wash one another's feet. For I have given you example that you should do as I have done. You know, that's astounding that Jesus, Adonai, humbled himself to wash the feet of his disciples. Verse 16 and 17, John 13. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent you. If you know these things, blessed are you that do them. To call Jesus Lord, our Adonai, means we surrender ourselves to his ownership and commit ourselves to serve as he serves. That's what it means to follow Jesus as Lord. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lord, the Greek word kurios. You can't just say Adonai to Jesus. The proof you've surrendered to Jesus as serving him by serving other people. Adonai is more than a word. Adonai represents a relationship. Jesus being my Adonai means he's my master. He possesses me. I am totally surrendered to him. I serve him by serving other people. He must be our Adonai. God is the Adonai of all men. You say, no, he's not. Listen, the lost and the saved, you go look it up. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. One of these days, every knee's going to bow. Not everybody's going to be saved. But one of these days, every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you might as well be saved now. Might as well serve him now. Because I want you to know, he loves us so much. He wants us to be with him throughout all eternity. So he sent his son to make that relationship possible. Today, Delaney and I had the privilege to eat with Dr. and Mrs. Lee, one of our families that couldn't be here today. Got in touch with me earlier in the week, said we'd like to be with, to hear the Lees this week, but we're on vacation. Here's my number at a restaurant. Just take them out, and it's on me. I can do that. You can give me a gift card or your credit card number, whatever you want me to do, and I'll tell people about eating. Well, I want you to know, he was just sharing with us, Dr. Lee, just common, just like us, talking. And he was talking about when he was at Rehoboth Baptist Church in Tucker, Georgia, and he felt led to start a mission church in Cumming, Georgia. That's First Redeemer that we talked about this morning. It was started 27 years ago. Now, I want you to know that he, when he was in his 40s, he was preaching four times every Sunday. He was preaching three Sunday morning services and one Sunday night service. And when they started First Redeemer, he was helicoptered from Tucker, Georgia, over to First Redeemer in Cumming and back on Sunday mornings. Is that not amazing? But here's what he said. He said, we went to Cumming, Georgia. You know, that's a high-dollar place. And he said, the only place we could find flat ground where we could build a church, our realtor told us that you won't be able to afford that property. And he said we had a little money. Said the realtor kept showing us around over the weeks and months, and we're trying to find a site to start this mission church. He said, finally, I rode over there one day and was talking to our realtor, and he said, look, that's the piece of land I want right there. It's 250 acres. And the realtor said, I'm sorry. He said, that closed last week. A local owner sold it to a group out of Nashville, Tennessee, and they're going to build a subdivision right there. Dr. Lee said, well, I want to talk to the man who sold the property. He said, well, it's been family property for a long time, but there's no need in you talking to him because he's already sold it for a big price to a company in Nashville, Tennessee. Dr. Lee found out the original owner's name, called him and made an appointment. Dr. Lee went to see him, and he sat down. He said, I'm Richard Lee. We feel led to start a church here in Cumming, and we really were interested in this property out here, but we were told we couldn't afford it. Dr. Lee said, I know it's too late. You closed last week with a company out of Nashville, Tennessee. Property owner, former owner, said, hold on there just a minute. That's not all correct. He said, strangest thing happened. He said, the people who bought my property here in Cumming from Nashville, Tennessee, wanted the 200 acres behind here, but they didn't want the 47 acres that faced the main highway. He said, I still own the 47 acres that front this road. Dr. Lee said, well, I'd like to make another appointment to come with you because I'm going to come back with an offer. And so the man said, that's fine. Several weeks later, Dr. Lee got an appointment with this property owner again. And Dr. Lee had gotten his lawyer and some people in the church from Tucker, and they came out, sat down in this businessman's office, and he said, we're prepared to make you an offer. And the property owner said, don't say anything else. Dr. Lee said, well, okay. He said, tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll sell you this 47 acres on this road frontage, flat land, for a certain price an acre, which was one-third of what Dr. Lee was going to offer him that day. You hear me? Dr. Lee was going to offer a lot more money. And the man said, on top of that, said, I owe about $500,000 from a business deal in tithes, and so I'll just sell you this property and I'll give you $500,000. That's the wildest deal I've ever heard in my whole life. And Dr. Lee said, that's a deal. And Dr. Lee never told him what his offer was going to be, about three times what they paid for the land. Let me tell you something, folks. God created it, and God owns it all and everyone within it. You got a choice. Yes, he can be. You can say he's your creator, he's your Lord and your Savior, Kyrios. But is he your Adonai? There have been people in this community that right after I came said Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church is never to own certain property in Floyd County. The grandparents passed it down two generations and said Pleasant Valley South is never to own this property. And guess what? We never sought to own that family property. And guess what? We own some of that property today that was never supposed to belong to us, only to that family. But I want you to know all that we have is on loan from God. It's His. Elohim, Eliyahu, El Shaddai, my master. His name is Adonai. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you, Lord, for those who came tonight. They want the lights on, a worship service. They want to worship you. And we go from this place to serve. If you're here tonight and never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to invite you to do so. Some of you are here tonight who's really never trusted Him. He lived a sinless life, died on Calvary's cross to pay for our admission into heaven, and all you got to do is invite Him into your heart. You've invited him into your heart. But let me ask you a question. Is he Adonai? Is he Master? You see, the New Testament only teaches a lordship salvation. You reveal who you are by who you worship and who you serve. If you're here tonight and you've already made your decision, need to make it public, I invite you to come. Be a candidate for baptism and church membership. If you're here tonight and you need a church home, and God has laid it on your heart that Pleasant Valley South is the place, I invite you to come. And Lord, we're going to thank you in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.